This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There is nothing better than playoff hockey. And we are underway again! Score! Just to begin 9 seconds in! We were wondering if the big weapons were going to put the puck in the net tonight for Dallas. Wyatt Johnston just did!
Bob Schuster with the call. ESPN, electric night at the American Airlines Center. Stars, the crowd was into it. There was never a moment that crowd was not into it last night. That was a raucous crowd. Stars get the 6-2 victory.
All the testimony we've heard from people who were out there at the game, stuff you saw on social media, was that when that Johnston goal went in at 9 seconds in, that felt like the roof was going to blow off the thing. That it was, and you could hear it there. I mean, the crowd was super loud, super into it all night.
Yeah, I had the school spirit going on the house.
You showed me that during the break.
I got the jellyfish lights, and I put the Stars colors on the house. Big game. You got to do it.
It's good.
You got to do it in a big game.
You should bring those lights out to Anna tomorrow. You should see if you can just pull them off the house.
Just rip them off the house.
Yeah, and then like give them to Ruben. He'll put them on the little setup there. Because we are going to be in Anna tomorrow for
yes,
the Firehouse
we are.
Tour. It is stop two of the 2025 Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour. We want you guys out there. We want to see you guys. It'll be me, RJ. We're also going to have Zach Wolchuk out there sitting with us. Nick Harris from the Fort Star Telegram is going to join us for a segment while we're out there. We've also got a big day tomorrow with Boone, and I think we got Meat Church as well.
Yeah, we do, both of them.
So come on out. So if you're in Anna, Blue Ridge, Prosper, Melissa, McKinney, Princeton, Salina, whatever, come on out. This will be a good stop for you guys to come see us. We're going to have breakfast from Whataburger, free breakfast, I might add, as well as special edition Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour baseball caps, which brought us, and others have already instructed me to save them one, steal them one. So these are going to go fast. You guys are going to need to swing by and get yours. 305 South Powell Parkway in Anna. That's 305 South Powell Parkway in Anna. Thank you to the tour partners, Whataburger, Fraser Roofs and Gutters, and Firehouse Movers.
All right, very nice. But joining us now on the D&M Leasing Hotline, it is the great Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, our good friend. Haven't talked to him since, week 17?
No, we talked to him.
It was the Super Bowl week, right?
And we talked to him about Zach Martin retirement, I think.
Oh, yeah, very nice. Good morning, Nicholas.
Good morning. I was afraid you were going to ask me about hockey.
No. So we just had to knock that out first. We everybody's very excited about the hockey right now.
Oh, yeah.
We knew not to press you too much about hockey, though.
I all I know is that this is about when I kind of pick up on with hockey. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the marathon. You know, I'm the point two. I mean, I'll let the 26 miles go through, but at the end, you know, the point two, then now I'm ready for the marathon. So that's kind of the way I am with hockey.
You know hockey's played on ice. That's what you know.
I do know that. I do know they gave up 3 goals in like a minute. Then that kind of changed the whole season there, the regular season. But you know what? Playoff hockey's different. They figured it out. They got the lead. I think they'll win 1 or 2. I don't know what happens after that. I don't know anything after that.
I do wonder if hockey's probably number 2 in terms of fans that jump on in playoff time, like compared to the regular season. I would bet like there's just a huge influx of people that start consuming the playoffs. Number 1 would be college basketball. But I would think hockey would be number 2.
College baseball jumps in there too.
It does.
I mean, like for when you talk about the amount of that watch the end that don't watch anything before that, I would think the College World Series might be up there.
I'll tell you this though, man. Like both of my kids play baseball, but all their teammates, they watch college baseball more than MLB during the regulars. It's weird. Yeah.
They like those metal backs. They like
that probably is what it is.
That's what it is.
Because they always say, what bet they're using? I want their bet.
Nick, so I guess the basic question right out of the gate. I mean, we've obviously heard a lot of positive things coming out about the Cowboys draft class. They think they got a lot of great value up and down the board. But they come out of this thing without what a lot of people felt like was their top need for a second year in a row. No wide receiver two. What do you think about the – I guess I'll start off with this. How many different – like in the course of the first several picks, do you think they were close to picking a receiver? Or do you think the value was so much better with the guy that they picked that they were like, we can't justify forcing a receiver here?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think – it's a weird draft when you think about – the first overall pick, I think, would have been a receiver if he was there. I mean, I really do think McMillan would have been the guy over Booker. I think their grades were close, but you got to go with the position there, a receiver. And then, so when that didn't happen, it's hard to think that what you'd have, you know, eight other picks and none of them were receivers. Were they close? I think most of the time it wasn't. The receiver wasn't the position there, except for maybe the fifth round where was it Shamar James? I think mm-hmm. I think that's one where they were looking at another receiver there too, and it just comes down to who is going to play on the field, you know, more this year. And you know, with the linebacker situation the way it was, I think that they decided to go that route. And they'd already picked Blue a few picks before that. That's the one where they traded. And my understanding was there was a 2 out of 3 scenario. Three guys there. Lambert Smith maybe was the receiver. Blue and then Shamar James. And they were good with getting 2 of 3. And it just worked out that they feel like these guys are going to have a better chance to play. Which at that point in the fifth round lets you kind of know where that's maybe they didn't think these guys were going to be better than what they had. Obviously, first two rounds are different, but not so much in the middle rounds.
All right, let's get to week one. Who's the number two?
Where are we playing? I say that because, I mean, the schedule's not out yet, and I say that because we've still got a little bit to go. I don't know if that guy's on the roster right now, to be honest with you. I don't know if that number two receiver's on the roster. There's been a lot of talk about getting you know, free agent guys that are still there. There's been some trades, as Jerry has alluded to. And I think that whoever they bring in and or make a trade with, to bring in is going to be an upgrade over what they have. So not to sidestep the question, but I don't think your number two receiver is actually here right now.
Amari Cooper?
He's not here right now. So yeah. I think his name has been mentioned. I don't hate it. You know, the reasons that it didn't work out the first time and why they wanted to move on are not the same reasons anymore. And you know, and money, I mean, being a huge part of that. And I think there was a thought in the building of letting CD really open up and be, you know, and be the guy and not let anyone kind of be in the way of that. And that certainly had happened. And then, you know, some of the other things that we heard about that maybe were reasons why the Cowboys wanted to move on from Mario. I mean, those aren't even things in our world anymore. So I think it would be a better fit if that's where they want to go, but I don't think he's the only option right now.
Nick, how many starters for 2025 do you think the Cowboys pulled out of this draft? How many starters do you think they pulled out for 2025, and how many starters do you think they pulled out for 2026?
Yeah, that's a great question there. 1 and 2. I mean, now, 1 and 3. 1 and 3 for sure, because I think when you look at the pass rusher, I think Booker is going to be a starter. He has to be. You don't draft a guard right there if he's not ready to start yesterday. He's ready. He's ready to start. He's got to be. I think Isaracu will be a starter, I mean, probably, if not this year, by the next year, when you think about, and that was a part of the discussion, you know, was Sam Williams on the last year of his deal, Dante Fowler on a 1 year deal. I mean, truth be told, Micah's on the last year of his deal. Not that I think that this is the last year he'll be here, but I'm just saying, I think by the next year, I think Irazuku will probably be that guy. And then, you know, we'll see if Revel will be there as well. He should be. He should be ready for that. That's kind of why they drafted him, because of the huge upside. So 3 for sure. And then I'm kind of forgetting about, you know, I know there wasn't a 4th round pick. Then 5th round, you got Blue. I just don't see him as a starting type running back. He didn't start at Texas, but I know he was still a playmaker.
So how do you see the depth chart for running back right now?
I see both. I mean, I probably Williams and then Sanders, but I could be wrong there. It could be the other way around. I think those two guys, and then you look at Blue. I was just watching tape of Mafah, the seventh rounder, and it's impressive. His tape's impressive, but you know they don't always show some of the negative plays on those kind of things. But what I did like was a big power back that's running away from some of the ACC competition there. You know, and that's, I mean, it wasn't like it was just, you know, Furman. You know, I mean, he's, you know, I'm trying to think of somebody I think Clemson's played. I mean, I felt like it was North Carolina State and Florida State and those teams that he's running away from them. And so he looks like a big power back. I think he's going to factor into this mix. So Williams, Sanders, Blue, Mafah, and then, you know, you have Deuce in there, Malik Davis for now. But, I mean, I think, you know, Hunter Lipke is going to have a somewhat of a role, I would think.
Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105 The Fan. Nick, it seemed like a big focus here. A couple years ago in the draft, it felt like they were like, all right, toughness, edge, we got to get that. Or they identify these peripheral things that they want to accomplish. It seemed like this draft, again, continued to carry over the theme that Schottenheimer started with his first press conference, which is culture, 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 and really establishing that and changing that. How much of that do you think was the tiebreaker or the separator for them in instances where their board was really tight?
I think that's 100% right. I mean, I think that you're exactly right. I think culture, I think loving football, leadership, being a captain. I mean, I don't think they went out just seeking captains from their team, but I do think it was guys that have the right study habits and things like that. And you know, and I say it all the time, you know, playing football on Sunday or Monday or Thursday, whatever the day of the week is, that's important. But if you don't love football or you don't take care of what you need to take care of Monday through Friday, with your body, your preparation, with your study habits and all that things, if you don't take care of that, then your team's not going to be as good. And we've seen that. We've seen that. Last year, they didn't seem prepared. They couldn't score a touchdown in the first quarter. Or even in the third quarter, they weren't taking coaching and applying it to the field. That is coaching, and that's part of that's on the players as well. And I think getting more guys that love the game and love to do all the things necessary to win was important here, and it feels like they added a few of those guys.
All right, Nick, I got to know, we obviously did the draft coverage, partnered up with you guys over at DallasCowboys.com, and on day three, they selected UCLA defensive tackle Jay Toya. And I'm curious if you heard Zach Wolchuk's finishing question to Jay. Did you hear that?
I've heard about it.
You're going to hear it right now.
Well, I love playing
all right, all right. So we're going to play for you Wolchuk's question to Jay Toya and then his justification following behind that.
All right, Jay, so can we teach the entire defensive front the haka and make sure we do this every pregame?
I mean, I'm not a haka specialist. You know, that's more like Marin's, you know. I'm Tongan, so I'm not really a haka specialist, but I think we could try.
We can try.
Well, we appreciate you taking some time.
All right, Jay Toy joining us here on the
boom, 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 boom. Don't put the camera on. Boom. What are we
doing? If your brother's a rugby player in New Zealand, how are you not?
It doesn't mean he knows how to do it.
I get okay. Well, if you're
down,
we need your brother.
I dare you to walk up to him.
I will. I'll do it in Oxnard.
Break down and start to.
Is that racist?
No, not at all. You literally does it before every game.
That's racist, bro.
How?
That's racist, bro.
I'm Tongan, bro.
They all the same. They all do that little dance. Hey, Jay, why don't you do that little dance y'all do?
I gotta step out. I'm serious.
What's that thing y'all do? The haka? Do that haka.
That was not good.
So, Nick, how would you have handled being in Wolchuk's position?
Wow. Well, that's first of all, that's as day three as it gets right there. Like that's
yes. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And I'm one of those where like you could sit back all day in the media and just you know, say, hey, happy to be here. What's this like for your family and all this kind of stuff. He went for it. I get to eat him. He didn't necessarily know the difference. So I don't fault him 100% for that. I thought it was a little bit too much there on the back end from the other guys. You know what I mean? I've always been one of those that's like, well, where were you? You know, like, what, why did you bring anything to the table? What was your question? He. You don't hit home runs if you don't swing. He went for it. He missed. That's okay. I'm okay with that. Now, the doubling down on the rugby part or whatever was happening there, it's like he wasn't going to let it go.
No.
But, hey, I know this. Your brain is just like is like a fried egg on Thursday, especially when you're doing those shows and all the draft coverage. So I don't really fault them so much for that. It's fine. I mean, I heard Kyle in there. I don't think he was 100% clear from what I've heard.
Kyle gave the – when Zach asked the question, Kyle went, question. And then he doubled back and threw him under the bus.
Well, he told me that he was also a finalist on the G-Bag, whatever they do. I don't know.
He was, yeah.
G-Bag of the day. Very good. Thank you, Nick.
All right, guys. See you.
Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, here on 105.3. The Fan. KC Masterpiece Crosstalk's next.